Biological material was given a statutory definition in 2011, meaning an item that's in possession of the state that contains blood, semen, hair, saliva, skin tissue or cells, fingernail scrapings, bone, bodily fluids, or other identifiable biological evidence that may be suitable for forensic testing. This includes the contents of a sexual assault evidence collection kit. Because items within this definition are now defined as biological material per se, convicted persons no longer need to show that the item that they are requesting testing on, whatever it may be, contains biological material if one of these has already been identified. Convicted persons still carry the burden of proving the existence of biological material in the case of other items not specifically listed, like clothing. So a good example would be, say, the state has in its possession before the time of trial a shirt. There's a stain on that shirt, and serology is done, and it's determined that that stain is blood. Okay. On Chapter 64, the movement does not have to show that that's blood. It's already unproven, so that's biological material per se. On the other hand, if the shirt is in possession of the state, there's a stain on it, but serology is never done. Under the modern standard, the movement has the burden of showing a reasonable likelihood that that stain contains biological material that's suitable for testing. Now, once the motion is filed, 6402 requires the convicting court to provide a copy to the state. The state then has 60 days to either deliver the evidence to the court or explain in writing why the state cannot deliver the evidence. Now, even though the statute uses the word require, there's no presumption in favor of the movement when the state fails to file a response to the motion. And the state's failure to respond may be considered harmless if the convicted person's pleadings are deficient under 6401. The state may either deliver the evidence to the court or explain in writing why the evidence cannot be delivered. This written response can cite to affidavits from the clerk's office, the arresting agency, crime labs, pretty much anyone who would have personal knowledge of whether the evidence exists. If evidence simply does not exist, some courts have found that affidavits are not needed at all. If the trial judge finds as a factual matter that the evidence no longer exists and its disappearance is not caused by bad faith on the part of the state, the requested item is simply not available for DNA testing. On the other hand, if the trial judge finds that the state has not exercised due diligence in attempting to locate the evidence, the court has implied authority to order those responsible for the safekeeping and custody of the evidence, the lab or the agency or otherwise, to conduct a further search. But the convicting court does not have the power to permit a move-in or a move-in's representatives to personally search records or the lab or the arresting agency's property room for lost evidence. Now, before testing can be ordered, the convicting court must be able to find that the evidence exists in a condition making DNA testing possible, that it has been subjected to a sufficient chain of custody, and that identity was or is at issue in the case. The movement also has the burden of showing by a preponderance of evidence that he or she would not have been convicted if exculpatory results had been obtained through DNA testing, and the request for the proposed DNA testing is not made to unreasonably delay the execution of the convicted person's sentence. A good deal of time could be devoted to the ins and outs of whether evidence exists or if chain of custody is sufficient. In short, please go look at the paper for this, but for our purposes today, most of these two points will be tied to information provided by the states, provided by the state in the 6402 response. While chain of custody should be apparent from that filing, it should also be properly alleged by the movement to meet their burden before the court. If the record demonstrates that the manner in which the evidence was handled and stored casts doubt on the evidence's integrity, then the convicted person has not met their burden. Under 6403, the court must find that identity was or is an issue in the convicted person's case to order post-conviction DNA testing. This phrasing, the use of the past tense was and the present tense is, suggests that while a plea could be seen as eliminating the issue of identity at the time of conviction, evidence may be introduced on Chapter 64 to put identity into issue now. 6403 prohibits a court from finding that identity was not an issue based solely on a plea of guilty or no contest or confession or similar admission. In fact, to take it even a step further, the fact that the victim knew and identified the movement, that's irrelevant to a determination under 6403. It can come into play later on under 6404, but as far as whether testing should be ordered, it cannot be considered by the court. On the other hand, the fact that the movement pled not guilty, and proceeded forward to trial by itself is not sufficient to raise identity as an issue. The convicted person can make identity an issue by showing that exculpatory DNA tests would prove his or her innocence, even though he or she may have conceded identity as an issue at trial. All of this said, the court is not required to presume an item's relevance to the issue of identity or the alleged material's relevance to the issue of identity. The initial motion filed under 6401 should make clear why this particular piece of evidence is relevant to that issue. Chapter 64 does not require a convicting court to hold a 6403 hearing if it's clear from paper that these requirements have not been met. If the affidavits or response filed by the state make it clear that the evidence doesn't exist, then the convicting court can deny just on that. Likewise, if it's clear from the record that identity was or is not an issue, the convicted person is not entitled to an evidentiary hearing to explore the issue of identity.